This is a free Off The Ball podcast. For access to the best in sporting analysis from the likes of Brian O'Driscoll, Andy Dunn, Kevin Kilbane, Dion Fanning, Tommy Walsh, Darren O'Sullivan and lots more, become an Off The Ball member today.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Green Scene on Off The Ball with Cadbury, a proud sponsor of the Republic of Ireland football teams.
All right, we're back. Back like we never left. Welcome to another episode of The Green Scene, where we talk about all things Irish football. I'm delighted to be joined by Matthew Rennan of Off The Ball Breakfast and amongst others.
Yes, amongst others, amongst many others. The power rankings too.
The power rankings and anything Westmead related. Matthew, you're very welcome. What's the crack?
Yeah, all good. All good. It's been a quiet summer, funnily enough, as far as Irish football goes abroad. The national team, how that's concerned, the League of Ireland, of course, is obviously still ticking away. We're hoping we might get a bit of a title race. Not looking too likely, but they're not doing too badly in Europe. A little bit of a mixed bag. But that's going to come to the fore over the next little while. Shells obviously playing Ajax, welcoming European giants Ajax to Talca Park tomorrow night. Yep. So that'll be very entertaining, as was some of the games last week too. But transfer speculation has been a wee bit quiet as well. It's obviously the World Cup. There's a bit of a jet lag going on, I think.
Yeah, I think we're all a bit jaded after the World Cup. I find it hard to kind of get back into the real football run of things, and I love football. But after the World Cup, I was a bit like, yeah, whew. And it's quite weird because I think, was it the quarterfinals of the World Cup were on, and Shamrock Rovers are basically playing in the Champions League, their biggest games.
Strange, wasn't it?
Biggest games of the year. I know that happens anyway. I know that the World Cup went on a little bit longer, this one in particular. But yeah, it's been a mad old summer. But today we are going to get straight into it, and we're going to talk about some of the transfer speculation, but also some of the moves that we might expect players to make, what players should make. And with the I guess the UK football season back on in some way, as in Scotland has started, and a lot of our players play there. And obviously the EFL kind of started last week with the Carabao Cup.
Yeah, League 1, League 2 back this weekend, Championship another week on from that. So
it's all really...
I believe. It's next week, the Championship, isn't it?
I think the Championship is this weekend.
Is it? Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, West Ham are playing Burnley on Sunday. I did check that last night. Yeah. So EFL is also back. So quite a lot of our players are playing there. Quite a lot of our players have made moves. Just off the top of our heads here, I suppose, after our pre-show meeting, we decided we would chat about one move in particular that's happened in the last few days in Festi Abiselia.
Yeah. Rogue one, to be fair.
Erzurumspor.
Erzurumspor.
In the east of Turkey.
Newly promoted.
Yeah. We don't know a whole pile about them, but this move, he made the move off Broadway to go to Istanbul, Basaksehir, I guess. But at least, they're playing in Europe.
Yeah.
Now he's made a move even further off Broadway. And he also had links, obviously, to go back to the English Championship in January, I think, to Wrexham. Festi Abiselia, where does that leave him for the Ireland picture?
It's hard to know. I'm not sure how in the Ireland picture he was.
Yeah.
Obviously he was in it for sure, and then had a couple of iffy performances, shall we say, but was still there for some of the... Like, he was on the pitch, obviously, when the Republic of Ireland beat Hungary. So he obviously was in the mind of Hamer Hallgrimsson to some degree, but I think he'd maybe lost that coming into the last window. I know there was a suspension there, so he obviously wouldn't have been able to play in one of the games, but still could have been included in the squad, as we've seen with other players. So he was left out because he wasn't really wanted there by all accounts. I mean, he had a really weird season last year whereby he didn't really play, and then he started playing, and their captain, I believe, was the right back at Istanbul Başakşehir, Nuri Sahin, was managing them. He had a good little run, then he came back into the fold, got a red card after 10 minutes in one of his games, and it was stop-start, and then it was very much stop, and he didn't really play at all. And then you were getting to the end of the January window, and it looked like all roads were leading to the Championship, as you mentioned. It was going to be one of the W clubs, it was going to be West Brom, or it was going to be Wrexham. It looked like the Wrexham deal was all but over the line, and the deadline passed, and we're thinking, when are we going to hear about the deal sheet that's gone in, and Festi's going to be playing with Wrexham? And that would have been a pretty cool move from all things considered. They were pushing for the playoffs, very narrowly missed out. And now he finds himself at a newly promoted club over in Turkey. Now, you would he's only there on loan. So you would assume that he's enjoying life over there.
Mm.
He's made the decision to stay there. There is no world in which a club in either the Championship or League One wouldn't have taken him. You know, he would have been able to find a home there if he really wanted it. To answer your initial question, where does it leave him in the Ireland picture? Not any better off than he was before he made the move, I would suggest.
Yeah, and we were literally just talking again in our pre-show meeting about some of the players that are playing in the Turkish Super League and some of the players that have gone there. So from, like, obviously a non-Irish perspective, you've got Trossard has gone there, Mohamed Salah obviously has gone to Trabzonspor. And it seems, and it's something I didn't actually realise or I didn't know until recently, that the Turkish, if you're playing in the Turkish Super League, it's basically a bit of a tax haven.
Mm.
You can earn you basically earn all your wages. So, for example, I know Victor Osimhen was linked with moves to the Premier League, and he's on, I think, like take home 400k at Galatasaray.
Yeah.
And if he was to get the equivalent, let's say that in the Premier League, I think with the tax in the UK, he'd have to be on like 650k. A week, which is obviously, you know, huge money. So there is a financial benefit to staying in Turkey. Erzurumspor,
just looking into them here, yeah.
Yeah.
A bit of a crazy sort of recent history, haven't it?
Yeah, like they're playing on Sunday in the first game of the Turkish Super League against Ahmed SK. Then the week after that, they play at home, their first home game in the league, to Galatasaray.
Yeah.
They are based, what, near the Syrian border, I think, as well?
They were founded initially in 1967, the first major team of the city. They reached the top division of the Turkish Super League in 1998. Severe financial trouble later caused a rapid descent down the divisions, and they were dissolved in 2015. Came back then. So the current entity, obviously from 2010 to present.
It's kind of...
They were promoted in 2018-19 and in 2021, and now they're back up again. So... I mean, anyone could do that research if they really wanted. I'm not sure you were coming here expecting us to know a whole lot about Erzurumspor. So, look, we'll be keeping an eye on them. If you want, you'll stick on the flash or notifications and see how fast he's getting on, I think.
Yeah.
Your app of choice is.
Yeah, I'm looking through like their squad. Mostly Turkish. They have a Bosnian defender, Georgian defender. They have a Chilean striker, Martin Rodriguez. It's a strange old move. Look, it's... really interesting, and we were talking about players and moving to different cities and what's the ideal kind of career pathway to live in some cool places. So this is, you're discovering the world by travel and by your career. It is pretty cool. Where that leaves them for the future with Ireland, I don't know. Speaking of Irish right backs and potentially players that play in that right back position or
go on
other positions, what did you think when Seamus Coleman was supposedly going to line out for his club? Killy Beggs against Four Masters in the Donegal Championship.
Which obviously didn't happen in the end. Yeah, he was doing a bit of training with them. That is correct, isn't it? Is that accurate information, or is this again another bit of speculation that's been going around?
But how training was he?
Just kicking the ball, yeah.
The training that he was doing, was it like kicking the balls out to them?
Yeah.
Or was he...
doing the goalkeeper sessions, like...
Yeah, or
it's hard to know. It would have been mental if he did line out, like, for them. But obviously it didn't happen, so a bit of a non-story.
What would Hamer Grimson think if... Coleman was playing. Do you reckon he knew? Do you reckon he seen that tweet as well and was like, oh my god?
It's strange because we're technically still in the off season. It depends where he ends up, I suppose. If he went and signed for a team in Scotland, it would then not be the off season. But he doesn't have a club at the minute. I think that's more the big story.
He had been training with Sheffield United.
And then they chose to sign another one of our right backs, Matt Doherty. I don't know what's going to happen with Seamus Coleman. I could not tell you. He was getting heavily linked with Preston the other day.
Yeah.
But again, I don't know.
Not far from Liverpool.
Yeah, we're getting late into the window now too. So I know, like, as in, it doesn't really matter to him. He's a free agent, and that maybe how teams will approach this, and they'll have all their targets, and then they'll get to the end of a window and see who's available, and maybe a last minute thing, which isn't the end of the world for someone at his stage of his career. Like, another man that's at Preston is Andrew Moran, obviously, who moved to Preston late in January, and you're kind of thinking, well, why didn't they just do it at the start of the window? Would have been good if he got in a bit earlier. He obviously hadn't been playing football since whatever, early November at that point, after being in America. But for someone at the latter stage of their career, who's probably just looking for a move to keep himself taken over so that he can play in the Euros, really, which I imagine is what his intention is. Obviously, I'm sure still has ambitions in the club game. If he didn't, he wouldn't be playing at all. but we're no really better off. We're no better off as far as knowing what, where Seamus Coleman is going to be at. Do you think there's a world, I mean, this could date very quickly, but if he didn't get a new club, if he just didn't get a club.
He just plays Gaelic.
No, not just plays Gaelic, but like, is there a world where he doesn't get a new club but still is in the Ireland squad?
No, I think he has to play. Has to be at least affiliated to some club. He has to play at least some football. I don't know. Like, the big thing is, like, we just think you can just move anywhere you want, and it's a bit like Football Manager or FIFA. Like, oh, just go to this club. But, you know, in the reality of it, he has a wife and kids that are obviously very settled in Liverpool, and that has a huge effect on where he wants to go to next. Maybe he wants to move back to Ireland. You know, we've seen, obviously, James McLean has moved back to Derry City, and it really has not gone well for him at all. Now, obviously, McLean's international career is finished. Moving back to the League of Ireland isn't easy. Like,
no,
lots of players have moved back, and
we were chatting about this yesterday morning on breakfast actually with Keith Tracy too, and we were trying to come up with some examples, and there weren't all that many of players who'd kind of, Seamus Coleman's been, but I suppose he does fit into this bill in that he was a success over here in the League of Ireland, and then headed over, and the way Cullum had put it was actually become established in their own right, not because of the fact that they were Irish. They were globally known, like, you know, and respected for what they did on the pitch, and weren't just acknowledged here because of the fact they were Irish, and then returned back to the League of Ireland and were successes. There aren't that many. I think Liam O'Brien was one of them, but that's a long time ago that he played, obviously, over here, and then did well over Man United and the like, and then came back.
Yeah.
There's very few. There is very few.
Yeah. Yeah, like,
but there's multiple reasons for that. Like, you know, that's not just solely down to the fact that these players are coming back and they're not up to the standard. Like, I'm sure James McLean still has enough football in him to be able to hang, but we just haven't been able to see that.
And also being played out of position, and in a basket case of a club as well.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's lots of factors that go into it, and would have been playing with players who are thinking differently to maybe than some of the players he's playing with now. And that's not just solely to McLean. That would probably apply to other cases better than this one.
Yeah. The Green Scene and Off the Boards with Cadbury's a proud sponsor of the Republic of Ireland football teams. Just on the McLean situation as well, we should definitely talk about it. Why has this gone so badly?
Yeah, it's a sorry state of affairs, isn't it?
Yeah, like I was on the news around on Monday, and I said, like, it's just the whole situation is just sad. You know, he comes back after having a hell of a career in the UK, a hell of a career with Ireland. He should be coming back. You know, he was, you know, at the start of the League of Ireland season, you're looking at Derry City as one of the challengers to Shamrock Rovers to win the league title. And
had the President's Cup that time.
Yeah, and you kind
played
of
very well. That
we were watching that game, and he spent centre midfield. I was like, oh, something could happen here. And then it just hasn't happened. Like, obviously, they spent too long with Tiernan Lynch, and he was maybe a dead man walking for a long time before he actually.
Yeah, they never seemed to click either, really. Not that they should have to, but it's ideal if they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, the James McLean thing, like,
has he let himself down a little bit?
Do you know what? It pains me to kind of, I think there's obviously two sides to this. And I think there's blame to be shared across the board. I don't think he has held himself to the kind of standard that someone who's achieved what he has achieved probably would envisage themselves doing.
Yeah.
I've obviously been a Wigan fan for quite some time, and we've had James McLean at Wigan on two different occasions, and one of the few clubs in England that actually really did take to James McLean and kind of took him in as one of their own, and defended him from a lot of the not so nice stuff that was put toward him from clubs over in England. That's been well documented, was happening on a weekly basis, was brought to the attention over here a lot, was not brought to the attention over here on other occasions either, do you know, where this stuff was going on a very regular basis. And there was a hope I felt that he would come back and the sentiment would be nice towards him, and there would be an appreciation and a happiness that he was coming back. And I think there was that at the beginning. There was a few sort of, we had the issue with the Shamrock Rovers game that time where he was getting some abuse, which was ridiculous at the time. But I think the longer it's gone on, the more he's kind of, done some things that I can imagine in the future he probably will look back on and think, maybe I shouldn't have done that. Just some of the social media stuff is just, it's not very, it's not needed. It's not necessary. And it shouldn't have gotten, as Keith said yesterday, like, it could have been easily avoided.
Yeah, as Garrett McGlynn said in the Yellow iPod last week, he kind of, you know, airing your dirty laundry out in public, that is not good for anyone.
Never going to end well.
The Yellow iPod we're recording today, Vinnie Peart, Gareth McGlynn, and Owen Heary. So,
that'll be good.
The old Stephen Kenny comments, expect a response. It's going to be dropping your podcast feed very shortly. Moving on from that, we have a couple of moves that have happened over the last...
We had a move that happened this morning.
We did. So, yeah, so this is someone... We've come up with two lists.
Yeah, what title have you given your list here? Because we've got two different lists. We haven't gone together, so we're going to give you a wide variety of thoughts here on different things.
I give my list on the Irish Bears to...
Okay, for anyone who didn't see that, he did like a twinkly hands there as well.
You know, Irish players that are maybe a little bit off Broadway.
We love an off Broadway. Where's Ben?
But this is like, to be honest, this is the Irish football podcast that's all about stuff that's off Broadway for Irish football.
Yeah,
but just a couple of players that just kind of interest me.
So we should just touch on a move. It's Joe Hodge.
So the move, the player we're talking about is Joe Hodge. He's left Dundela to go to Motherwell. What a result is that is for the Will, by the way. Kevin Bridges joke, if anyone's a fan. But Joe Hodges made that move to Motherwell, to the Scottish Premiership side.
We'd heard a bit about that over the last while, that there might have been a couple of hiccups with a sell-on clause or something that Wolves had inserted into his deal. And, you know, we'd heard he's on the verge of a move to the Scottish Premiership, and had no idea which club in the Scottish Premiership it might be, which varies heavily, of course. There could have been a world where he was going to Rangers. Obviously not. Mm-hmm. They're just the team that's in the Scottish Premiership, but it's Motherwell he's ended up at. Mm-hmm. Obviously they're in a new sort of phase now as well. They've a new manager themselves.
Jens Bertolaski obviously left at the end of last season.
Headed back over to Toulouse.
Yeah.
So we shall see how that one goes. I expect him to get a lot of minutes.
Yeah, like Hodge says into the club website, "I've been so keen to get this done. Having watched Motherwell games last season and the games this season, I've been itching to get involved." Was he really watching Motherwell last season? Listen, in Portugal?
I will never doubt Joe Hodge.
No, but the thing is, as we've spoken about this on this podcast before, Scottish Premiership, I feel, is a good place to develop your game. Joe Hodge is still relatively young. He's obviously had an Ireland cap now as well. He's, what, 23?
Yeah.
And he signed a contract until 2028. Motherwell obviously played in Europe. Are they still in Europe? I should have checked that before he started this podcast.
Listen, delay there and I'll find out for you.
So, Tondela got relegated in the Portuguese league, Liga Nos, last season. So, obviously, you had to get a move. You're not going to play in the Portuguese second division. This fella is spoken about for a long time as a real talent. Someone that could, I don't know, maybe not challenge Josh Cullen, but like maybe a player in a similar type of mould. And he's bounced around a couple of different clubs. Done well at QPR for a while as well.
He did, he's at Huddersfield for a bit too.
Yeah, and then took the international route. And now he's still taking the international route when he's in Scotland. Motherwell are knocked out of Europe, are they?
No, they're still there. They're playing tomorrow against HJK of Helsinki. They're drawing 1-1. They're at home tomorrow.
And is that in the Conference League?
That is in the third qualifying round of the Europa Conference League.
So if Motherwell got into...
That'd be cold.
Yeah, into Europa Conference League, that would be fantastic for... Yeah. Not just Joe Hodge's development, but for Scottish football in general, because their coefficient has been on the slide for a long time. But Joe Hodge is definitely a player I would be keeping an eye on, and obviously a little bit closer to home as well, as in you'd be able to watch a bit of Motherwell games on the TV. He's going to have a couple of games a year against Celtic and Rangers as well. So they're obviously, Motherwell is obviously going through a bit of a transition with the new manager, and whether they can, it seems that they can possibly have a similar season to last year as well.
Yeah, look, it would take a lot. Like, they played some fantastic football last year too.
Yeah, probably played the best football in Scotland last year.
Alfred Johansson's 35.
So, I think it's just an exciting move, and it's a good move for Hodge as well. A bit, a bit closer to games that John O'Shea and him are Aaron.
Yeah, and look, he did okay with Tondela last year. They were, again, similar to Fessy, a newly promoted side into the league in Oss, the top division. And it was a similar sort of story to Fessy, but maybe had a little bit more success in that he was in and out a wee bit. There was games he'd maybe play an hour and then wouldn't be in the squad the next day. And had a good run there at one point. He'd started 4, 5, 6 games on the bounce, and they had been unbeaten in that period. Was their best part of the year, obviously, considering they did go down. I'm not surprised he's moved. He's right to get a move. You know, yeah. There's no great value, I suppose, in him playing in the second tier over in Portugal. He'd be better off coming back over closer, closer to home. So, look, there's no point dwelling on it too much. I'm expecting to get minutes. I think he'll do all right. I think Scottish football might suit him. He's a slightly small guy, which is why...
But technical.
Yeah, very technical, which is why you would anticipate a league like Portugal suiting his abilities. But
what did you call your list?
So, my list... is called Who Could Do With a Big Season.
Right, that's a more well thought out list than mine.
Yeah.
Joe Hodge on that list?
No, but he's in the honourable mentions.
Right.
I've got five players and then I've two honourable mentions, but I'm very much open to hearing from anyone who's listening as to who they think, you know, could... I suppose there's two different facets to this, really. There's the who... could do it from a club perspective to get maybe their club career back on track, because there are guys there who need to get their club career back on track for the sake of their club career, but not necessarily for their involvement in the Republic of Ireland squad, and there is at least one of them in here. So I'd be intrigued to know what people are thinking about that.
Okay, go give
you
us
want
one.
Me to go into my list first?
Well, we can go over and back, I think. Or do you want to just...
No, because they're different. I think we should do rattle through them all at once. Okay. I'll let you go first.
So Joe Hodge, obviously, on my list. Sticking with the Scottish team.
So this is like who's going to excite you this year.
Yeah.
Who should you keep an eye on? Who should you stick into your little notification thing on
exactly.
Your...
Exactly. Maybe we call it the notifications list.
The notifications list. Yeah.
Of players.
Players.
God, that sounds so sexy, doesn't it?
Yeah, class.
Will Ferry.
Write that down.
Will Ferry is another
great
one.
Great show.
Obviously... heavy linked with a move away from Dundee United. Had a great season last year under Jim Goodwin.
Yes.
And Dundee United just signed the Romanian left back that used to play for Rangers with a name that seems quite hard to pronounce. So Ferry could be on the move. He could be on the ferry. But where is that ferry going to? Is it going to Belgium? Because he's linked with Belgian giants Anderlecht quite heavily again over the last few days. Yeah. Anderlecht aren't the Anderlecht of old.
No.
But still a pretty storied team.
Ah, yeah, it's a very cool move if it does happen. He obviously had that kind of link to the Czech Republic.
Yeah, like Sigma Olomouc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which he opted not to take up and has been back in the fold with Dundee United and has been playing minutes, and it seemed as though things were going a little bit quiet. But no, Anderlecht seemed to be hot on the case now as well. He had links to England as well before. Obviously, you know, he started off with Southampton and a couple of moves down the leagues. I think Oxford were hotting him in January.
Mm.
He didn't make that move and he was right not to, because they ended up going down. Now, listen, he might have contributed in some way to preventing that from happening. But a move to Anderlecht would be class, regardless of the fact that, as you say, they are not the Anderlecht of old.
No.
Most clubs that we talk about these days aren't quite the version of themselves of old. So there's nothing new there.
Yeah,
but Belgium again is a decent place to go and progress your career. For a guy like Will Ferry, he's not a kid, but he's not old.
Yeah, and it's a nice move to the next level. You know, it's like you're not making a jump to, I think, a championship club. You're making a jump to a club that obviously playing, you know, competing with like Union Saint-Gilloise. Now they're playing the Champions League.
Club Brugge
Club Brugge. Obviously, you've got Genk, you've got Ghent as well. I just think that would be a pretty pretty good move. Nathan Saliba plays for
you see that here,
he's the Canadian international. He's playing in the World Cup, obviously.
Oliver Antman as well, he was at the World Cup too, wasn't he?
Yeah, so they haven't won, Anderlecht haven't won the Belgian top division since...
Oliver Antman wasn't playing at the World Cup, he's Finnish.
2017. So there's they have to, they're a bit like Ajax as well in the Netherlands, that, you know, this storied club with such European pedigree, and they need to try and get back on track and challenge the likes of Union Saint-Gilloise. I think, you know, going from Dundee United to Anderlecht is a great move. And also, you find with the English Championship in League One, it can be a bit of it's a bit of a dogfight even just to get into a team sometimes, you know, and your manager's chopping and changing of games.
Yeah, there's a lot of games as well, that's the thing. So you can look at that from both ways, really. It's hard to, if someone is playing well and gets a good run, you might not be likely to get any minutes, but at the same time, because there are so many games, it does open up opportunities to get minutes.
Yeah.
I think for someone like Will Ferry, a move to League One would be totally redundant. If he was going to make a move, it would have to be to a reasonably competent championship level side. Who's next on your list?
Yeah, and they finished fourth last season, just so you know. Next on my list is Mikey Johnson.
Yeah, good shout.
He could also be on your list.
He's not, but he's going to be getting added to the honourable mentions here because that's a very good shout, yeah.
Obviously, the bad injury towards the back end of last year.
But you know what? I don't even know how towards the back end it was. It ended up being the whole end of the season.
Yeah, he hadn't played
for a good while.
Got injured in February and played in the League Cup at the weekend, played 25 minutes.
Mm. They were totally misusing him as well when Ryan Mason was in there towards that and Eric Ramsey too.
Yeah.
When he took over, they were playing him as like a wing back. It's just not Mikey Johnson in the slightest.
No.
And I know, listen, you have to do what your manager asks you to do, but the manager also has to try and get the best out of his players, and that's not how you get the best out of Mikey Johnson.
Yeah, someone with just an incredible amount of talent and someone that could be really useful for the Ireland team.
100%.
There's not a whole pile of players like him within the Irish setup as well. And it's coming into, let's say the prime of his career as well. He's in his mid to late 20s. He's played at Celtic, he's played in Portugal. He's obviously been in the Championship now for a while as well. So I think Mikey Johnson is definitely a player to keep an eye out on. The Nations League seems to maybe be an avenue where he could definitely play. Him, Ronald Grimson, obviously is a big fan of him because he picked him quite a lot and he would bring him off the bench.
And I did think it was really strange when he didn't bring him off the bench over in Budapest.
Yeah.
I thought this is tailor-made for Johnson to cut in and deliver a ball or something like that. And
yeah,
as he did, remember he did really well for the reverse game of that in the Aviva Stadium when we got that that late equaliser.
Yeah.
He got the ball and kind of faked to deliver. And then put one more pass wide, and Ryan Manning obviously delivered. So yeah, he's got a bit of guile, he's got a bit of craft, and he scored some very special goals, even as like recently as last year. So
yeah,
I think that's a great shout from you. Yeah,
19 caps for Ireland and 2 goals. Mm. The other player, I have a bit of a theme here.
Okay,
but the other player is Louis Barry.
Yeah, another one, another good one.
Louis Barry, who I don't think he actually has his citizenship over the line, but it's pretty close.
Yeah, well, didn't Hamer say he was available for selection? Didn't he say that after around the Kieran Gibbsy Hall's time when that first game?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, but he obviously had an injury at the time. He was another player had an injury last season that kind of ruled him out of most of it. But just a really exciting player.
He came towards the back end, so he started a couple of games for Sheffield United when Ruben Selles was there at the very start of last year, and they were terrible. They were getting hammered week in, week out. He got sacked. Chris Wilder came in, didn't really fancy him. Then he got to move back to Stockport in League One. Had an injury as well, obviously, around that time too. And towards the end of the season, really came on strong.
Yeah.
Scored a hat-trick in games, did really well in the playoffs. They, unfortunately for them, lost out to Bolton pretty comprehensively in the playoff final. They've lost their manager, Dave Chandler. But of course, Louis Barry's not going to be with them this year. He's gone to Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I would very much expect them to be a dominant force in League One. But again, he's in League One, so how much are we going to learn? I'm not too sure. I think the main thing for him is keeping fit and getting minutes and keep banging the goals in.
That's exactly why I'd be keeping an eye on him this year, because he's going to be in League One in a team that should be, let's say, dominant in that division. Obviously, they've had their issues last year, but Sheffield Wednesday seem to have at least steadied the ship. And he's obviously played in League One before. He's one of the top talents in that league. Plays off the left, plays off the right, has bags of ability / potential still as well. And I think he could be a player that could be very handy for Ireland to have going forward. So I'd be definitely keeping an eye on Louis Barry over the next few months. And then the last player I have.
So you've only got 4?
No, Ferry Hodge.
Oh, I had Hodge in your list. Sorry,
yeah.
Talked about him before the list. Yeah, that's all right. Sorry,
And the other player is a player that's currently playing in the League of Ireland, in Keen Levy.
Oh yeah, I see he's getting linked away this morning.
Getting linked away. He's out of contract in December.
Mm.
Obviously the old...
Has an international cap.
Has an international cap. Has 6 goals. His most successful domestic season to date. He's 23 now, I think, as well.
Mm.
I've seen a fair amount of St. Pat's this season, and he's been excellent in every game. And the thing we... not worried about, but the thing we kind of questioned, that his pace, his dynamism, his balance to go off left and right, would that be able at a higher level, is he able to produce that, you know, at a good level? And we've seen in the Canada friendly that in the brief time that he was on, that he kind of could, like, he still had that getaway pace that you see him having for Pats and Inchicore every second Friday night. Like, he is one of the best players in the League of Ireland. He's obviously coming out of contract in December. I don't know if Pats will be able to hold on to him post September the 1st. He's linked to clubs in England. He's linked to clubs in Scandinavia.
Yeah.
I don't know whether going to League One would be the best thing for him. He's obviously been at Reading before. But I think he's just a really exciting, dynamic and interesting player. And the next move that he does make is, I don't think he's going to be at Pats for too much longer. Obviously, if he doesn't sign the contract, he definitely won't be at Pats. But his next move is a huge one, and probably the most important move of his career.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see where that goes. Whether we keep an eye on him for the next 2 or 3 weeks as well before the transfer window closes, the international transfer window closes. But I just think, he's another player that's obviously impressed Tamer Hargrimson and most exciting talent in the League of Ireland as well. So, yeah, I think he has a big 6 months ahead of him, I think.
Yeah, I wouldn't have too much to add on that front, to be totally honest with you. I think it's just one of them where, because of the way the League of Ireland season operates, you don't really know what's going to happen. He could be gone at any minute.
Yeah, well, like
I'm sure that won't happen. They'd be keen to keep him, excuse the pun, keen to keep him until the end of the end of the season, at the very least.
Pats have Shamrock Rovers on Sunday at home in the FAI Cup. Now, Pats haven't laid a glove on Shamrock Rovers all season in any of the games they've played. But if they don't win that game, they're probably not going to win the league. They're obviously a good chance of getting into Europe. Maybe you hold on to them then. But I do find it hard to see them holding on to a player like Keane Levy for the rest of the season. Anyway.
Yeah. Who needs a big season?
Who needs a big
season? Everyone's asking it. Everyone's wondering. Everyone's thinking about it. They can't get it off their minds. Well, lucky enough, I'm going to throw a few at you. I might get the cogs going in your head, because unfortunately, there are a lot of players who could do having big seasons. You know? But I think that goes across the board, really. I'm sure you could, sitting on a podcast,
we need big
the
seasons.
English national team. Me and you.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do, man. Listen, we're slacking off here. It's going to be a big season for the green scene.
Yeah.
Anyway, a few honourable mentions first before I get into the actual list. So Sammy Swanick is obviously making a move back to Derby. I think he could do having a pretty big season just for his club career, just to get things back on track. A bit of reputational damage came obviously with that exit from Ipswich, as far as Kieran McKenna saying he didn't fit the culture. No one really knows what that means, but it's not a great thing to have labelled at you by anyone, especially someone like Kieran McKenna, who's held in such high regard. So I'd be intrigued to see how he gets on. Joe Hodge is there as well. We've spoken about him. I added Mikey Johnson when you said him.
Smolik's obviously served a screamer at the weekend.
Did, very great goal, yeah, against Lincoln.
Yeah.
So don't have any of the Lincoln boys in there, but I'd be fascinated to see if Josh Honan hangs around, because he's just been injured since he got there and didn't feature at all when they got promoted, so he's not really a part of that team. But there's a big rejig going on there. Obviously, they've got two new managers in Scoobs left and went to Bristol City, so they're obviously a bit of continuity because they were the assistants, so you might not get big changes there. Still on the honourable mentions here, I have this man in just because I wanted to mention him, but I don't actually think he needs a big season, but it would probably be better to fit in your list, actually, would be Sinclair Armstrong.
I was literally thinking about that, yeah.
But I don't think it would be any harm for him to have a grand season and just stay off the radar a little bit, because he came in for a lot of criticism across maybe his QPR and Bristol City stints, in that he was frustrating, because you can see he's all the makeup to be someone that is a handful, is useful for both club teams and international teams, has got great attributes, has got a really good pedigree as well. I mean, coming through over here with Rovers and all that sort of stuff, went over at a very young age, so over to England. So I just been intrigued to see who gets on. He's obviously at Göztepe over in Turkey at the minute, so you might get to see him and Festi going head to head, which would be a serious battle.
Do you reckon Premier Sports are bidding for Turkish football coverage?
I've never had more interest in the Turkish league than I do now.
No, like so, Salah, Trossard,
very watchable, like
Dusan Vlahovic,
and it's just mad football as well.
Festi,
too, like, isn't it? Festi,
yeah,
obviously, yeah.
Big Turkish population now in Dublin as well. Yeah. They probably want to watch a lot of games. Yeah. I know the Fenerbahce supporters go down to the old McCarthy's barrage.
They do have bags outside.
Yeah, and they go a bit nuts. So, yeah. Turkish football, if you're not on it, get on it.
Get on it, yeah. One more honourable mention. Now, this is not an honourable mention in the context you might think it is. This is an honourable mention because I need this man to stay fit for the whole season. That's all. He doesn't need to do anything. He needs to play some minutes and he needs to stay fit. And that's Rocco Vatta.
Yeah.
He just needs to stay fit, because he's playing games, he's looking very threatening, he's contributing with both goals and assists, which is what everyone wants to hear about these days. He does that when he plays, but he just doesn't play enough. And he's not old, but he's not a baby anymore, you know? He's not a kid, and he needs to start getting some minutes under his belt. And he's at Watford, who are a club that you can't really judge until the season really gets going, because you don't know who's going to be in charge after a couple of weeks.
He's 21 years old.
Yeah. So, you know, he look, it's not the end of the world if he has another bad season, but it's not good if he keeps getting injured again. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. He doesn't need to set the world alight this year, but he just needs to, if Watford play 48 games this season, he needs to feature in 35 of them.
What difference or what effect could he have on him or Hallam Crimson's Irish team? What position would he play in? And how does the Irish team look with Rocco Vada in it?
It's hard to know, right? Because with the way we have been setting up until this point, it's that left-hand side role has been a little bit fluid. It's been where the likes of Finn Azaz has lined up, where the likes of Harvey Vale, you would imagine, would line up. And you end up more central, and then you've got your Troy Parrott and your Chio Ogbene, as it has been. So Rocco Vada, does he fit into that exactly? Maybe he does. Maybe he does fit into that drifting sort of role when he come in. But it is the left-hand side that you will be looking at for him to feature in. And look, he's quick. He's got a rocket of a boot in him as well. Like, he scored some absolute crackers. And, you know, again, we haven't seen enough of him in senior football to really make a proper determination on that. But he is someone that Hamer does fancy. Like, he's included him in squads when he hasn't really been playing as well.
Yeah.
Calling him up out of the 21s and that sort of stuff as well. So, look.
As one senior cap.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
For someone like him, and you know, he was a player for a long time that we were worried about losing to other nations, given his Albanian heritage. In fact, he was born in Scotland and all that sort of stuff too.
True.
So I just want him to stay fit this season.
Yeah, I'm very keen to hopefully have a couple of months and weeks of, oh, Rocco Vada did X, Y, and Z the weekend. It was really good.
Yeah.
Because Ireland need creative players. We don't produce a whole pile of players like Rocco Vada. So someone like that could be extremely beneficial for the Nations League and going forward.
And he had a really bad injury, and before he had that injury, he'd come back from another one, and he looked like he put on a good bit of mass, like he'd filled out in a good way, in a really good way, because he had still, prior to that, looked fairly lightweight, which you can get away with to a point, but it's always better when, especially when you're playing in the Championship, you need to be durable.
Yeah.
And it's harder to be durable when you're susceptible to take knocks because of your size. And he's an exciting player. So just stay fit, Rocco, please.
Is he on your honourable mentions list?
He was the last one, the honourable mentions list. Yeah, because he doesn't really fit into the big season. I'll be quick. I'll rattle through it. We won't spend 10 minutes on each player, but I just didn't want to say he needed a big season, because I don't think he needs a big season. He's 21. Like, he's got no baggage, really, but it's just about staying fit. Adam Ida.
Yeah.
Needs a big season. First club career.
Yeah.
First club career. Now, it's hard to know exactly where he's going to stand, because Zan Vopotnik was the top scorer in the Championship last year. He was at Swansea. He's been linked with Hull. Hull have offered big money for him. Swansea have turned it down. They've got big ambitions of getting promotion themselves. They've Vítor Matos over them at the minute, who of course was in the background for Jurgen Klopp for a long period of time. Went over to Portugal, came back, replaced Alan Sheehan, of course, who's an Irish manager, who's was at Swansea for a little while. Adam Ida didn't play a whole lot. He was coming off the bench. He didn't have that bad injury around Christmas, and then returned on the eve of the Hungary game.
Became quite an effective player for Ireland off the bench.
Eve of the Czechia game. When he came in off the bench that day, that was the first time he played in ages. Had a good chance. And you can kind of see he was in a stage there. We nearly got in behind, an excellent tackle from the recovering defender, but you think maybe a fully fit Adam Ida might have gotten in behind.
Yeah.
He's someone who's been around for a long time now.
He's
not old at all. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So we're just kind of waiting to see him kick on.
Do you reckon that he should stay at Swansea, or should he?
I'd give it the season, I would give it the season, because it could go one of two ways, really. There's a world in which Vopotnik leaves and he's the guy. There's a world in which Vopotnik leaves and they decide to put a bit of faith in him and maybe don't directly replace Vopotnik and bring in some players around him, and then therefore suddenly you're in a pretty good looking team. They're a pretty good manager.
In the team that will create chances for him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And I've got ambition. So I would stay there. Yeah, I'd give it the season. They did put a pretty big outlay on him. So I can't imagine they'll be wanting to. It's in Swansea's best interests to either get a good few quid for Adam Ida, which is good for him as well, because it means the clubs that are after him are ambitious, or to actually get the best out of him. So he needs a big season. He might have a big season.
Here's hoping.
It's hard to know. Here's hoping is right, I'll quickly mention this man, but we can kind of skip past it a little bit. Mark McGuinness, I think, is sort of stuck in the wilderness a little bit at Sheffield United. He's a somewhat valuable player. I think Chris Wilder doesn't really know what to make of him. He's playing, that's just an assessment from looking on at the outside. I don't know that for a fact, but he plays and then he doesn't play. And they're about to outlay a huge amount of money on Harry Suter from Leicester. They've offered 8-10 million for him on 30-40 grand a week. He's obviously a centre half, and we know very well the system that Chris Wilder does play with those three centre halves, so there's potential for him to get game time there. But again, they had a pretty big outlay on him at a similar time last year from Luton, and that didn't really work out for him last year. Now, they were a bit of a basket case last year, it must be said, Sheffield United, but they'll again have ambitions of going up, and you'd just be afraid of Mark McGuinness again, someone who is in that middle stage of his career where he's 24, 25, 26, I think, and you would just not want this season to pass him by.
No. It looked for a while that he was going to be quite an important part of the defensive options for Ireland at one stage. Obviously played that game against England and Wembley.
Yeah.
Hasn't done a whole pile since.
No. No.
Is a player though that, you know, came through at Arsenal.
Yeah.
You know, really highly thought of.
He got good pedigree.
So, yeah, he does need a big season. But he's playing in a team and in a league that should suit him.
Yeah. Ah, yeah, tailor made for it. Yeah. He is. And the team, you're right, in a system like Chris Wilder, he should be set up for that, you know, like. Now, again, the Wilder system is not the exact same as it was when they were in the Premier League with the overlapping outside centre halves. It's not quite that now, but it's still fairly similar, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. I've got three left here, right? I've kind of thrown two in together. So there's technically four players here, but I won't spend too much time on them. They are I've put them in together because it's Casey McAteer and it's Chio Ogbene, because they're in a similar boat.
Yeah.
Boat wingers that are at Ipswich, of course, who have been promoted. Ogbene didn't play any part in Ipswich promotion last year, was out on loan at the aforementioned Sheffield United. That didn't pan out at all. He wasn't really in the squads at all. And then Casey McAteer sort of started getting a few minutes towards the end of the season, scored an important goal for them in one of their games. I think he actually scored in the final day of the season for them when they secured promotion against QPR, Harvey Vale's QPR. So I just don't know what's going to happen there.
Are they going to stay in the Premier League?
I don't know. Gary O'Neill is their manager now, so
it's hard to know.
Change. Like Gary Ogbene, I could see as someone who Gary O'Neill could get something out of.
Yeah,
could look at him and go, you know what? I can see how you could be valuable to me. Casey McAteer is a little bit different in that he hasn't got that one asset that you look at and go, that's obvious where I can use that to benefit my team. Whereas Ogbene is very quick and he's very strong, and he's played in the Premier League before to a decent level.
It would be just an amazing story if Ogbene had a chance to go back to the Premier League, because obviously that's where he had the bad injury. I think it was against Brentford.
Yeah.
When he ruptured his Achilles.
It hasn't been seen since, yeah.
And for someone like Ogbene that we obviously don't know him, but like when you see him at Ireland squads and you see him in press conferences or in post-match interviews, you can tell that he's just got a great attitude. He's the type of fella that you'd want in your team. And if someone is going to bounce back and get back to the Premier League in this sort of situation, well, it could be Chidozie Ogbene, because he has the physical capabilities to play in the Premier League. And the Premier League, obviously, as we've seen over, especially last season, a lot of it is to do with power, and pace. And I think Ogbene could definitely have an impact on the Ipswich team. Let's see what happens.
It's
there.
It's a fluid situation, and he's been linked with every team in the Championship. I think Derby were one that were touted, and Derby were actually linked with another man I've got on my list that I'll get to in a minute. Mm. I think West Brom were looking at him too, so it's good. As is the case with any transfer talk, it could date incredibly quickly, especially in leagues like that where things do just happen. Suddenly this is how it is. So Casey McAteer as well, I'd just be intrigued to see what happens with the both of them. How big a season they need is, you know, this is all contextual really with where they are in their career and what team they're playing for. Like, it's not like Casey McAteer needs to have a big season in the Premier League and score 10 goals. It's like he needs to get into a team where he is valued and playing and playing well under a manager who knows how to get the best out of him.
We'll get back to in another episode down the line of some of the managers. I just think it's a fascinating thing that Kieran McKenna, after a couple of promotions and a relegation, and all of a sudden he gets back to the Premier League and he decides that
this isn't for me.
He needs a break at least. I think that's the fascinating thing that we need to maybe delve into a little bit. And we'll have a look at some of the Irish coaches abroad as well.
I think we'd delve into it with him.
Yeah, here's hoping. I have two more.
And the man I mentioned that was linked with Derby County is Gavin Bazunu.
Yeah.
Gavin Bazunu, as far as his club career goes, and it feels like we say this every season, he is a goalkeeper. He's got loads of time ahead of him. It's not the end of the world, regardless of what really happens up until you get to the point where it is. Mm. He had a horrible season last year, really.
Yeah.
Let's call a spade a spade.
Form, injuries, clubs, managers.
Yeah, you've got it all in one there. The loan stint to Stoke was over before it started. So I don't know, because he obviously, like, he's been around as well now. Like, he went over to Belgium that time. That didn't go brilliantly either. I'm not going to pretend I watched him every week, but based off of the reviews that you hear from it, it wasn't spectacular. It was grand. It looked like something that maybe might be able to kickstart his career. Maybe he needs one of those again. Mm-hmm. The Stoke one, you can't read anything into because he got injured, but he does tend to get injured a little bit more than other goalkeepers. Yeah, you know, yeah. So that's a red flag for teams who are going to take a gamble on him, even for a loan spot. Mm-hmm. You want to take a goalkeeper on loan, you expect them to be your guy for the season.
Yeah.
You don't want to waste a loan spot on that, and if they're going to get injured, then you're in trouble. So I don't know. There are plenty of clubs around that need goalkeepers. There's always clubs that need goalkeepers. It won't be Southampton. I can't see him playing for Southampton next season.
No.
Tom Decker's still going to be there.
Yeah.
And they've got a goalkeeper who was playing pretty well for them last year.
Yeah.
Almost got them promoted. So look, one to just keep an eye on, as your list was. And the last one's Johnny Kenny.
Yeah, looks like he's staying at Celtic.
Had a brilliant, really brilliant loan spell with Bolton last year.
Then got injured.
Yeah.
Disappointing.
Didn't quite see out the playoffs with them.
No.
But he showed that he is more than capable of being a player that is very good at the top of League One, which would indicate that the Championship is not out of his reach.
Does he get a move before the end of the window?
I don't think so, no. I think he'll stay at Celtic.
And he's what, going to be third choice?
Yeah.
Casper Hu. And then they'll play maybe the boy from Colombia up front either.
Yeah, Duran. And they're looking at signing Hassan as well. He's obviously a winger.
Yeah.
But I do think he'll stay. I do, I have to say. I just have a feeling. We've been here before with Johnny Kenny and he stayed. So.
Yeah, for his sake, he needs Celtic to get into maybe the Champions League or to... Definitely European competition.
Or he just needs to head back to Bolton. I'd like to see him head back to Bolton. That was the whole thing. Yeah. With the initial move when he went to Bolton, we actually debated it here quite a bit because he was obviously linked with Aarhus over in Denmark. And my Schalke. Logic for the... Sorry?
And Schalke.
And Schalke, of course. Yeah. With Ed and Jack over there. But my kind of thing with it was that if he goes there on loan, they get promoted. He's found a place where he's valued and they like him and he's comfortable. And then he can go and join a team in the Championship and he's not starting from... base. He's starting from a position of strength.
Yeah.
So to not take that up just seems a bit bizarre to me, to be honest. But I have to say, I do think he'll stay there. But that's just a hunch.
Yeah.
That's my list. But I know we're running out of time here.
Yeah.
A couple of free agents, just people to keep an eye on over the next little while, because this might run past the transfer window. I don't know. Alex Gilbert was fairly prominent of a player for Middlesbrough last year, nearly got promoted. He was in off the bench, started a couple of games. Darragh Lennon, someone who suffered horribly with injuries, he's a free agent too. He's a very talented boy, but he's just been decimated with injuries. We spoke about Seamus Coleman. Robbie Brady still doesn't have a club. Keith Tracy made a brilliant shout yesterday where he thinks he's going to end up. Salford. See him ending up at Salford there. I think, did they get promoted last year?
Did they lose
in the playoff final, or did they get promoted? Anyway,
I do remember Gary Neville fired clip of him.
I think they lost the playoff final. But anyway, we know Robbie's living in and around Manchester, been playing with Preston, and
has the United connection.
United connection as well. Yeah. So Salford are still in League Two.
Yeah.
And then the final one is Will Smallbone.
Yeah, I did see linked to a move to Europe.
Yeah, I wouldn't surprise me. I was saying as well,
he's a technical footballer. Like, yeah. He's a player that.
No, he's good.
He's a good player that we need playing at a pretty good level because...
If he had a club, he would have been in my needs a big season.
Yeah. Mm. Obviously, last year just didn't go well with injuries.
Yeah.
Loan spell at Millwall.
And Millwall valued him. He was really good there. He had like two games and he was brilliant and then got done in a really bad tackle. I think it was a bad tackle. It was a bad injury anyway. Or I think maybe it was just on a turn. Don't call me that. But it was a bad injury anyway and he was done for months.
Yeah.
But they kept him in the building.
Yeah,
they didn't send him back.
No.
He kept him in the building. He came back and he didn't actually get on in the playoffs, but he featured once or twice and he did come back at the very end of the season. So he's definitely someone. He is only after getting married, which would, I don't really know how much you would read into that, like, but if he's settled and he's a house and all that, then you can't imagine he'd be looking to go abroad.
Footballers have short careers and you got to go and play
ball.
The Green Scene on Off the Ball with Cadbury's, a proud sponsor of Public Garden football teams. Right, we're nearly out of time, but we are going to ask just two little things we need to touch on before we finish.
Go for it.
Troy Parrott, linked with a couple of clubs, obviously linked very heavily to West Ham in recent days.
Yeah.
Pretty poor valuation of his
disrespected.
Yeah. Obviously, supposedly RB Leipzig have made a bid for him as well.
Oh, that, yeah.
Where does Parrott end up? What does he do? Where does he go? Obviously, he's been on kind of coming off the bench for AZ Alkmaar. Obviously, they're trying to protect their asset. They're trying to get as much money for him as possible. Where does Troy Parrott end up? It feels like I've been asking this for like 9 months.
No, we have been.
We have been, yeah.
I think regardless of, so you say Leipzig, you say Porto, West Ham, any of the others.
Ajax, PSV, Real Betis.
Real Betis. I think he would go to any of those clubs and be fine.
Yeah.
I hope he doesn't go to West Ham.
Everyone says that.
Yeah, I do hope he doesn't go to West Ham. I just don't have much grow or much appetite for seeing Troy Parrott in the Championship. I just don't. And I love the Championship more than anyone you know. But I have no interest in seeing that. I would like to see him go to, I think if he got into the Leipzig cycle, that could be pretty fun.
Yeah. He's a really good presser.
Porto would be my destination of choice. I think that's very cool.
Yeah, Porto, Champions League, won the Portuguese top division last year. Yeah, it's like, you know, he obviously spoke about, you know, making the next step, not making a huge step, but making the medium step, let's say. Porto kind of fits that
bill. Porto would be class.
It would be class. Okay, very, very quickly, we were chatting about this last week in the office, not on the airwaves, but a guy called Kialik O'Neill, who has two caps for Northern Ireland, come off the bench for Arsenal a couple of times, especially pre-season, it looks like one of Arsenal's, let's say, best young talents. Okay, there's a long way to go for his career. He's only 18. A bit non-committal when asked by BBC Sport, BBC Northern Ireland, about his international future. He was born in Derry.
Yeah.
Played Gaelic football growing up. Played in Croke Park in 2019.
So
in
a picture floating around.
In a wee mini sevens halftime game. Is he about to make the switch?
Well, he's been capped twice.
Mm-hmm.
In non-competitive. Yeah.
Played against Guinea and played against France in the end of the UK season's friendlies, I suppose.
The odd,
European
the odd
season.
Window where we played Grenada.
Yeah.
Based purely off of
those interviews,
something's going on.
Yeah. Something's going on.
So if he plays two more non-competitive games for Northern Ireland, he's gone.
Yeah.
We may forget
As in regards to the Republic of Ireland.
Yeah, we may forget about it. Yeah, well, that's what we're looking at this from the perspective of. I could see this rumbling on a wee bit. I could see him not being in the next Northern Ireland squad.
It reminded me a lot of the Declan Rice situation. Yeah. I know, like, obviously it's a different profile of player, but you're kind of looking at him, you're thinking...
There's almost the reverse
You get the sense of it.
Yeah,
you can smell it.
Yeah, there's almost the reverse of, do you know, like the phrase, once bitten, twice shy? That you don't get too excited about things. I feel like this is the other way around, in that we've been bitten.
Yeah.
And now we are like looking at taking a bite.
Yeah.
Do you know?
like in fairness, someone called Kialik O'Neill, who's grown up in the north, if Ireland and the FAI aren't making advances to him, then what he's doing.
Yeah.
Chris Ratherton has obviously made the switch last year, the start of this year. He obviously played with Glenavon. He's only 17. He's over at Chelsea now.
I think he's gone, is he?
Is he gone on loan somewhere?
I think he left the system.
Right, okay. Yeah. So I missed that. But yeah, like Kialik O'Neill is a player. Played two senior games for Linfield. Right, okay. So he's in the Premier League still. Yeah. Like, who knows? Who knows how he feels? And we've spoken numerous times on this podcast about feelings of where you're from and who you represent and different things. It's an interesting time. We'll keep an eye on Kialik O'Neill. We'll keep an eye on Arsenal as well over the next few weeks and months. But I think that's about it for this week's episode of The Green Scene. We'll be back, here's hoping, next week, if you have us. Thanks to producer Brona, and thanks to Charlie. Thank you to Matthew. We'll see you next week, I hope.
The Green Scene on Off The Ball with Cadbury, a proud sponsor of the Republic of Ireland football teams.
This is a free Off The Ball podcast. For access to the best in sporting analysis from the likes of Brian O'Driscoll, Andy Dunn, Kevin Kilbane, Dion Fanning, Tommy Walsh, Darren O'Sullivan and lots more, become an Off The Ball member today.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.